This week, we discuss the state budget, fees and charges, skilled migration, the outlook for Perth property, new mining projects, the Roadhouse Blues, and Indigenous business.
Welcome to Mark My Words, the weekly podcast from Business News, with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer discussing the important business news and data stories from Western Australia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beyer, joined this week by Dan Wilkie. So Dan, State Treasurer Ben Wyatt had a major update on state budget and fees and charges during the week.
He's basically confirmed the bad news that households and businesses were waiting for, and that bad news is we're all going to be hit harder in the hip pocket for essential services over the next 4 years. Now, shouldn't really come as a surprise to anyone. All the rhetoric around was that the budget's in worse shape than what they thought it was going to be when they picked it up. And WA residents really should be conditioned to the rising cost of utilities from the last 8 years of the Barnett government. But the actual quantum of the price rises are significantly higher than the last budget from Mike Nahan last year. So just took a look at last year, and power prices went up by 3% under Liberal. This year, Labor has stung consumers with a 10.9% rise there. Water charges last year were up 4.5%. Under Labor, they're going up 6%. Public transport cost increases, they're about on par under Labor as they were last year. But Labor's also going to hit motorists with a 5.5% increase in vehicle licence charges. Now, last year, the Libs tacked on a $99 charge to vehicle licensing to pay for the no-fault insurance scheme. So that's another thing that has been consistently increasing for the past few years. So adding everything up, households are looking at having to pay more than $400 more than what they did for the same services last year, as Mr. Wyatt looks for new ways to balance the books. Wasn't only households that have been slugged though, Mark. Understand that's been some significant cost increases in some industry sectors as well.
Yeah, look, port charges are going up across the board. But the one that really stood out was the Pilbara Port Authority. They're lifting their charges by 17%. So it's the big iron ore miners that'll be copping that one. So what I found interesting is that looking across all of these things, both households and business, they're going to raise about $330 million over the forward estimates. So that's over the next 3 to 4 years, which is kind of interesting because it's only a small dent in a very big budget repair challenge that sits in front of the state government. So they're copping some political flak over this, but they've still got a long way to go. So when the state budget does come out, we can expect to see some more very significant changes.
Absolutely. I mean, as you say, it is a bit of a drop in the bucket looking at the debts that Labor's facing, and you'd think that maybe an expanded asset sales program may be a bit more effective in actually making some inroads into that debt. Still on politics, though, so there's been some further tightening in the skilled migration scheme. Can you take me through that, Mark?
Yep. Once again, this was from the state government. They've got a list of occupations in demand. So if you're on this list, it's easier to migrate and settle into Western Australia. There used to be 178 occupations on that list. Now there are 18, so you know, a dramatic tightening up, and the 18 are all in the medical field. So any other industry, it's now tougher. And of course, this follows changes the federal government made to the 457 visas. So you know, across the board, there's been this reaction by governments to the community concern about unemployment and shortage of jobs. So you know, in some degrees, that's legitimate, but I know a lot of people in business who are concerned that it's now getting harder to bring in the people that they need to run their business. So, you know, this I think is something we need to keep a really close eye on. Dan, another topic. There was a report out during the week on the outlook for property prices. Can you tell us what's the outlook?
Not too flash, unfortunately. Now, this report came from Biz Oxford Economics. They were formerly Biz Shrapnel, so they've weighed in. They do a report pretty much every quarter. And unfortunately, their report, not as optimistic as a lot of the commentary around. But it must be noticed that Biz Shrapnel has had a history of having a bit of a penchant for being overly pessimistic when the market goes bad. But they have tipped the market to bottom out next year.
This is Perth residential property?
Perth residential property. So they've tipped median house prices going to hit the bottom next year, which is contrary to a lot of market commentary, with most experts suggesting that it's either already hit the bottom, it's very close, or we're bouncing along it. Now, I must say, people have been making that claim since early last year, and a lot of people saying it do have vested interests in selling residential property, so there's very good reasons why they'd be suggesting it's a fantastic buy and the market doesn't have any more downside. And having a look at the numbers, that would suggest that the market has not yet bottomed either. CoreLogic put out their update, they do it at the start of every month. I think that they've had one monthly increase for the year, or maybe two. And REWA's numbers show that Perth's median's still falling as well. REWA's numbers show the top end of Perth's property market is particularly slow. Just 11% of sales in the March quarter were for homes over $1 million. So there's still time left in the year for a turnaround in the plunge in the median price, but it's really hard to see what the catalyst would be to spark some serious capital growth. So moving along, some good news in the mining sector, some significant new projects being announced this week, Mark.
Yep. Well, look, you know, hopefully this kind of news might help with the property market as well. Lithium is a sector that's been pretty hot for a long while, and we saw two very tangible developments during the week. Chinese group Tianqi Lithium, they're currently spending $400 million building a processing plant down at Kwinana. They'll be producing lithium hydroxide, which is the product that goes into the lithium batteries. On top of that, they came out during the week and said they're going to spend $21 million doing a feasibility study on doubling the size of that plant. And if they go ahead with that, which seems very likely, that's another $320-odd million. So, you know, all up, more than $700 million being invested down at Kwinana. So I know some great opportunities down there for construction and contracting firms. I know Giorgio Group has picked up a lot of work down there. So, you know, that's very encouraging. The other hard news we had on Friday, Pilbara Minerals, their board formally gave the go-ahead for their Pilgangoora lithium project up in the Pilbara. They've put together the final elements of their funding package recently. So they're going to be spending a bit over $200 million up in the Pilbara developing that mining project. And they say they'll be in production in about Q2 of 2018. So, you know, and this comes on top of Talison Lithium. They're spending a lot of money expanding their mine at Greenbushes. There's two or three other operations around the state and other groups looking to get into the market. So, yeah, big question there as to how much can be sustained. But so far, very encouraging. You know, I guess if we look at, you know, electric cars, battery storage for solar power, you know, these are the kind of things that use the lithium, the long life lithium batteries. So all very encouraging.
Good to see some certainty there. It does seem like the past couple of years we've been hearing about lithium and cobalt and all these other new metals as the next big thing. Rare earths was mentioned a lot, but it was a lot of talk, and it really appears to be some positive movement and some things really happening on the ground now. So also in the news this week, Angelo Del Borello, who a lot of listeners will remember from his days at Aspen. He was back in the headlines, Mark.
Yeah, look, we had a really interesting story. And this is another one that actually revolves around this theme of the state of industry in WA, and in particular in the Pilbara, and what it means for property. There's a guy named Craig Mitchell, who's quite well known around town, used to run a big trucking business. He invested in four very big modern roadhouses up in the north of the state, Karratha, Newman, Port Hedland and so on. He then partnered with Angelo Del Borello's new business, Acure Asset Management. They raised a bit over $20 million to buy the properties on which these roadhouses have been developed. All going good in the mining construction boom era, but things have got a bit tougher. The amount of traffic running past the roadhouses has tapered off. Craig is arguing that turnover has fallen by up to two-thirds in some cases. That's a figure Angelo disputes. They're also disputing what is sustainable for this business. So the roadhouse businesses were trying to get lower lease payments off the property trusts. So there's a bit of a head-to-head battle happening here. The business was put into administration as part of, I guess, the bargaining game going on between these two. So it's going to be interesting to see. And that'll have a big bearing because the investors that went into these property trusts were offered yields up around 15%. And that can only be sustained if the roadhouses can afford to pay the rent. And that in turn is tied into how much activity happens in the Pilbara and how much people are travelling through the area. So, that was a fascinating little microcosm of what's going on in Western Australia and a commercial dispute that's come out of that.
Mm. No, interesting that Mr. Del Borello is involved in another, what seems to be a high-stakes commercial dispute after the bust-up with Gavin Hawkins at Aspen. Finally this week, Mark, you're putting together a feature on Indigenous business. So what's the state of play there?
Yeah, look, this is a sector that we've looked at in quite a lot of depth for some time. Once again, getting back to these sort of long-running themes, the mining construction boom in the Pilbara was something that presented huge opportunities for a lot of Indigenous businesses, particularly because the big miners mandated participation by Aboriginal workers and Aboriginal contractors. So that forced everybody to lift their game. And, you know, there were some great success stories up in the Pilbara. Like everybody, these Indigenous contractors have been affected by the downturn. So a lot of them are looking to diversify. And so in the feature I'm putting together, which will be out next week, we look at some of these diversification moves. So it's a group out of Roebourne, the Nalama and Yindjibarndi Foundation. They've recently taken over the town of Cossack, which is on the coast north of Karratha. So they're basically getting into sort of running a historic town and trying to build up a tourism operation. So, you know, interesting initiative there, and they're now doing a bunch of training around that. But there's also a lot of ongoing work in, if you like, facilities management. And this ties into this theme about operations and maintenance, which, you know, the groups like Monadelphous are chasing. But similarly, you know, a group like Pindari, another group, Britta, they've picked up contracts with Rio Tinto to run their camps and so on, and, you know, landscaping, facilities management, this kind of area. There was another group I was intrigued to read about under the name of Pilbara Aboriginal Investments. Now, the group behind them is Eastern Guruma. They're a privately owned Aboriginal contractor. They were clearly the most successful Aboriginal business in the Pilbara over the past decade. And they've done some really fascinating things. They've got a joint venture with a company called Energy Made Clean, which is now part of Carnegie Clean Energy. So this whole trend towards solar and renewables, they're on the back of that. They've also set up a pastoral business. So they're now jointly running 4 pastoral stations. Yeah, plus they're picking up their traditional sort of civils and earthworks contracts with people like Rio. And they're doing facilities management. So a great story there about sort of innovation and diversity. Another group getting into the pastoral field, Wayne Bergman, used to run the Kimberley Land Council, set up Cred Enterprises. He's now building up Kimberley Agricultural and Pastoral Company. They're about to acquire their 4th station up in the Kimberley. And then finally, had an in-depth look at an outfit called the Yagahong Alliance. Now, this is in the Midwest. The business it's a Central Earth Moving. They're a big outfit in Geraldton, and they've partnered with a traditional owner group around Meekatharra. They've picked up a couple of contracts with Sandfire Resources. And I've had a really in-depth look there, and it's all about the need for building capability, about mentoring, about support, and about getting businesses like Sandfire Resources that are prepared to give these kind of contractors a break. So, you know, a really diverse and in-depth coverage of what's going on. So if you're into that, please have a read.
It definitely sounds fascinating, and it really is fascinating how nimble these organisations are becoming, reacting to a downturn in what was basically what they built their business around in the resources sector, and they've realised the need to diversify and really, I guess, being successful with those plans.
If you don't diversify, you don't survive.
Correct.
And finally, I'll remind listeners that coming up on Thursday, the 27th of July, we've got a Success and Leadership Breakfast with Richard Goyder. He's the outgoing Chief Executive of Wesfarmers, the incoming Chairman of Woodside Petroleum, and also recently taken over as Chairman of the AFL. So you might have seen him on the telly presenting Malcolm Blight with his Legends of the Game Award. And he's on at the Hyatt Hotel. Tickets are selling fast, but if you're keen to come along, I'd recommend it. So get in touch and we can get you some tickets. So thanks very much for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Mark My Words with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer from Business News. For more information, please go to businessnews.com.au/podcasts. And to receive these regularly, search for Business News WA in iTunes or SoundCloud.